Hi, and welcome to the very first episode of
Rodeo 316.
I'm Morgan.
And I'm Jess.
And this is a podcast that has been in the works for about 8 months. Jess brought it up December of last year and was like, we should start a podcast, but we were both still in really hard times in our lives. Mm-hmm. And it's just been marinating for a little while, yeah. I would say.
Yeah.
But then she texts. Do you want to talk about like the name for it?
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to talk about our friendship a little bit too at the end, but we had been planning to get matching tattoos just because like our whole friendship was literally based on like that was God's doing too. So we felt like a matching tattoo was what just felt right. But we couldn't pick out the right thing. So anyways, I had this idea because the past like 9 months or so have been like such a hard journey of like learning things the hard way and like hard seasons and ups and downs. And also we both, want to go to like a real life rodeo and kind of want to be cowgirls, and we belong down south. So I texted Morgan. I was like, okay, this is it. This is the idea for our matching tattoo. We're going to do the name, or we're going to do the word rodeo, and then have a Bible verse that has gotten us through the hard times and like kind of resembles like our friendship and how we've like always been there for each other through the ups and downs. And then Morgan was like, okay, wait, that's not like a tattoo. That's the name of our podcast.
Yeah, that's
and I
the
was
podcast
like,
name.
Oh my gosh, you're right. And then the 316, you had just placed there as a, like a.
I was just using 316 as a placeholder because of John 3:16. It's one of the most famous verses. Yeah. And then we're in church. This was like a month ago.
Yeah.
And they were talking about giving, and I was like, oh my gosh, John 3:16, that's rodeo 3:16. We want it to be about giving and about love. And John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Yeah. So the whole thing behind John 3:16 is about love and giving. Like, God loved the world so much that he gave his son. And I think that's kind of what we wanted Rodeo 3:16 to be, mm-hmm. was about love and giving. And so that's the verse I felt like that was,
yeah,
the through line of it.
Yeah. Yeah. We were sitting in church one day and we were just, and I think, I don't know if John 3:16 like come up on the screen, or or one of our pastors was just talking about it, and we were like, we both got the chills and we were like, oh my gosh, that's not just it. A placeholder, like it, that has to stay, that has to be it. But yeah, so then Rodeo 3:16 was born and we were like, okay, we gotta go. But yeah, back to the Forrest Frank concert.
So what kickstarted it all was this podcast had been being talked about for like 8-9 months. Mm-hmm. And then we went to the Forrest Frank concert at the end of August in Boston. We had so much fun. That was the best concert I think I've ever been to.
Yeah. And I don't want to go to any other one.
I don't want to go to Forrest concert. Yeah. All Christian concerts. Yeah. But, and we kind of have been saying for a little while too that we thought this was going to be what kickstarts it all and like the little catalyst to get us going. And we go to the concert. We had so much fun. We leave and we're in the car and we're like, we have to start it now. Like, we just felt so heavy on our hearts and so called, like, there's a bigger purpose.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there was a moment that sparked that feeling too.
But yeah, wait, talk about the moment.
Okay. Are you sure? You don't have to finish a thought?
No.
Okay. So we are both, so it's like we're all standing. We're like in the pit, you would say. And this song comes on. He has a song called Altar, and it's like a super powerful song. And I don't know what prompted. So we were just, whatever. me and Morgan locked arms. We're not like looking at each other. We were both, and I think she was crying. I was like emotional. I don't think I had tears flowing yet. But so we were just locked in, just so, because you get so overwhelmed with like gratitude. Mm-hmm. And then like, especially like when it's not an easy walk in the park, like we have been through some things and like you just have so much gratitude for like, I don't know what he brings you through. And so anyways, locked arms, heads down, and I have my left hand up in the air. She has her right hand up in the air. We are, that's like an uncomfortable thing for us to do. Like we are not people who like have our hands up in church, like, cause we're still kind of like new to our journey. And the song is going, and we both have, well, I don't know that she has her hand in the air. Like neither of us are looking at one another. And also other people in the room, like not everybody has their hand up in the air. So talk about like being like, we were worried about like standing out in church by like putting our hand up. There was like hundreds and hundreds of people there, and we're dead center in the middle. Anyways, I like get this like feeling, this like message to not like, don't let your hand come down until the end of this song. Like no matter how uncomfortable it is, no matter how much pain your arm is in.
Yeah, I was gonna say it hurts holding your arm up for a, yeah, I mean maybe that sounds really wimpy, but it does.
But like try to hold your arm up for like 3 minutes. Like it, yeah, it's a like not a comfortable thing to do. It starts getting sore. And anyway, so I just like hear it. I'm just like, do not put your hand down until the end of this song. Like no matter how uncomfortable you are, no matter what you think people are looking at you, like don't put it up until the song is done, over with, onto the next one. And then so I listen and I'm like, okay, this is something I need. Like I, cause I always worry about like not obeying these things when I have like these thoughts that come to my mind that I should be doing, but I get scared of like looking a certain way. But then I also had a feeling, I was like, wait, that some like something's happening. Like I feel like Morgan is being told the same. Like I feel like she has the same kind of thing, because then I looked and I see that her hand's up, and I know that she doesn't always hold her hand up during like worship songs anyways. And I'm like, I feel like we're both getting this message. So then whatever, we stay, my head's down, our hands are up, and the song finishes. I put my arm down. I'm like,
yeah,
that was a lot.
We get in the car and
yeah, I don't say anything.
We haven't talked about it. And then we get in the car and Jess is like, did you feel like in that song Altar that you couldn't put your hand down? And I just got chills. I was like, yes, I could not put my hand down. And I just like kept feeling, do not put your hand down. And I don't know why. I just feel like that's such a little...
That was just...
Like obey.
Because we both too... Yes, obedience. And we both were scared. We had a little fear, or a lot of fear.
Just going against the grain. Like going against the...
Mm-hmm. And putting yourself out there. But yeah. So this podcast is just to give back to each other. And to God above all, like glory to him truly, because like what we're going to talk about gets really vulnerable. And like we're still like our journey, like our faith journey is still like we're bringing you guys along.
That's what I was just going to say. Yeah.
But it's to also show like our pasts and our lives and our stories, like what we've gone through, like he's literally brought us through all of it for a bigger purpose. And like, I don't know. His grace and his peace is just...
Yeah, we're not perfect Christians. We're pretty, imperfect. I would say pretty new in this. Yeah. So we just kind of want this podcast to be taking you along that journey and having fun and learning from our experiences, because I think that we both have been through a lot.
Yeah, that's something I would say too. Like we can learn so much from each other's experiences, like without having to go through that specific tragedy or hurt. And yeah, just not letting our pain go to waste.
Perfectly said.
Yeah.
Do you want to get into our testimonies a little?
Okay, sister. You shall go first.
I'm scared to go first. Okay. Well, I'm scared. This is very vulnerable. And
yes. I was just going to say, let's also preface that, you know, this gets very vulnerable in that it's literally, we want nothing more but to respect ourselves, obviously respect others too, but and not I, go.
I think what we want to share is like the truth of our stories.
Yeah, and because a lot of people can relate too.
Exactly.
And like to show we're all not.
It's, nothing's meant to come across as like disrespectful or hurtful to other people. We're just kind of speaking our truth and what we've been through so that we can
help other people. And it is truth. And like sometimes truth does offend some people. Exactly. But just know that like we are literally praying that the message is received always with good intentions. And yeah, glory to God above all else.
All right. Well, so I grew up with divorced parents. I grew up with divorced parents, and I feel like I had a lot of childhood hurts growing up. I did not grow up in a Christian home. My dad, however, was Christian, but I didn't primarily live with him. So I did know of God. I knew kind of who he was, but I didn't know who he was to his core or how to walk with him and follow that. So I have like my little outline to help me because I knew I was going to get scared. But so I think that I had a lot of childhood hurts for sure. And then I felt so much pressure on me all the time to like always do well and have validation from other people. And that was almost a way for me to feel loved and like I mattered.
Like you had to earn it.
Yeah. So that starting in childhood kind of carried throughout my adult life. And then I would say once I got old enough, I started to dabble into like working so much to numb myself and distract myself. And then that bled into when I wasn't working, how else could I numb myself? And it was social media and alcohol and just being busy with friends. So I was constantly just spending money, shopping, going out, drinking. I was very much from the world and living in the world. And I thought that I had a relationship with God, but I had no fear of the Lord. And I didn't know him enough to fear him. I didn't know that he could like give you things and take it right away. And so I was just living this like really worldly lifestyle up until 2020. And once COVID hit, that was like a wake-up call, like, you need to stop what you're doing. I stopped drinking, like, almost entirely, I would say, all of 2020. I changed so many little things about my life. Like, I didn't swear. I mean, I still don't anymore. But, like, I laid down, like, so many of my worldly habits in 2020. And then I started to find God, and I was going to this church online, and I was starting to walk with him and learn about having the Holy Spirit and praying more. And I do want to preface, like, I prayed my whole life. Like, I prayed. That was something I learned as a kid. Like, I always thought that I had this relationship with God, and I think I did, but I don't think that I was living for him and living in his will. And I think that it was easier for me to walk away and come back and walk away and come back. And I was treating him like a genie in a bottle.
It was like surface level.
Yeah, there was no real relationship. So yeah, 2020, COVID happened. And then I started to get involved in the film industry. And that was something that I wanted to do since I was a little kid. Like, I always wanted to be on camera and act and like make up stories and sing and dance. Like, I just loved the performing arts. I loved everything about film, like the editing and how they do that. And I just thought it was so cool. So once I started to get involved with that, I was like, this is the best. Like, I'm in God's will for sure. I'm living out his dream for sure. And I started to slip away from him again, not entirely, but I definitely did. Fast forward a few years, like, I was still living in sin all that time. This was 2021 to, I would say, 2022. So fast forward 1 year. Still living in sin, but like having a relationship with him and not realizing how hurtful sin could be. I moved across the country and I was living in Utah, which is a beautiful place. And I was working in film and everything about it was so amazing. And I learned so much and it was so fun. But I went through this really, really dark time of isolation and loneliness, and I think it was because of my sin. and not walking in his will. And it's really hurtful, and isolation is really, really hard and a really hard spot to be. I had no godly guidance, no godly friends. And I think that's probably why I've drifted so much in my life, is not having anyone godly to like look towards. So in this time of isolation and loneliness, I was praying so much because I knew the only thing that would save me is God. And nothing was happening. Like, it was like ringing empty. Yeah. And so I felt so like unlovable. I felt so lonely. I faced such dark thoughts.
Did you think in that time, like, that you weren't hearing anything or that he wasn't answering, like, because of sin?
No.
No.
I didn't really realize what my sins were. Like, I didn't know that in that whole time. I was still idolizing things, and I was being greedy, and that I was being selfish. Like, I didn't
know. So you weren't even aware at that point?
The only sins that, like, I knew outwardly that I was committing was, like, sexual sin. Mm. And I feel like there's so many internal sins that we do that we don't know that eat at you. And I think that that's what was happening. Mm-hmm. I feel like this is really bad. Am I rambling really bad?
You're good.
So I just felt really lonely and unloved. And so I got into a relationship that was really challenging. But I moved back. So I was living in Utah. I moved back for myself because I needed to, but it was partly because of the relationship, and I learned so much in that, and I'm so thankful for that. But that led me into a time that was even darker than the first, and this is like within a year, I would say. So I just went through such a dark and isolating time, and just not feeling heard or being led into even more darkness, which was not the way that I wanted to go. So I found my church home. We found our church home in January of 2024, this past January. And that's when things really started to shift. And like, I'm still in this relationship, very much living in sin, very much not fully aware of it and trying to pursue God. What were you going to say?
Did you want to talk about how you were praying for the relationship?
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. In the meantime, I'm like praying, I'm praying that God would bless this relationship. And I'm like, please help this work out. Like, please help this work out. Please bless it. And I was doing that like my whole life, like, God, do this, but not never knowing if it was in his will. Like, I just wanted it for me. Again, genie in a bottle. And nothing was happening. And I'm like praying and praying for this relationship, and nothing's happening. If anything, it's getting worse, like far much worse. And anyways, I don't really know where to go with that. Because what was my initial,
how you came out of the relationship and like with church? But I think it was important to note too that like it wasn't God's will, so you were asking him to bless the relationship, and that's what you thought, and like you were trying to do everything in your will to make it work, but like ultimately it was up to him, and like that wasn't for you. So you knew it was time to lay down the relationship too.
Yeah.
And then step into your full identity in
Christ. Yeah.
And then we joined D group.
So once I got involved with church, I really started to walk with God and understand more. We got involved at the church and we got a D group, and that has been so, so helpful.
Do you want to explain what D group is quick?
Just so D group is discipleship group. So it's us and a few other girls, and we just talk about everything. We do these little lessons and we learn.
It's like girls that are similar, that you can relate to. Like,
yeah, they're our age. We can connect with them and talk about anything in life really that we're going through.
Yeah, just like a close-knit community to discuss the gospel and learn together, because woof, they really, they got us going, because we joined the right when we found our, really quick, right when we found our church home, we were like, okay, we need to be 2 feet in, like have be involved in everything so that we can learn, because we weren't, we didn't have like, you know, role models or that, like this was our guidance and like our mentors. We needed to find those. So we signed up for the groups and we were like,
we were help us. Jumping in. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, getting involved with the church was really what saved me, I think. And walking with God and praying about what doing what was in his will, not my will, I think was like a huge thing. Mm-hmm. Because after that, I feel like I was like, okay, I have to lay this down. And he showed, like, God showed me. He was like, now you walk away. Like, now you have to leave. Now you have to do and obey what I'm telling you to do. And I feel like for me, things started to change once we got baptized. Mm-hmm. 100%. I knew it would, but ever since then, I feel like I'm like, okay, I understand a lot more. Like, it just, mm-hmm. something happened.
The fear of God.
The fear of God is in me now. But I remember when we left, we got baptized, we leave, I'm driving away in the car, and I'm like, I feel so heavy on my heart, and like, I almost like heard it. It was like, you have to live for me now. And I was like, I will never walk out of your will again. Like, please never let me go through that ever again. And that's the thing, is I think that God really used it so much for good. Like, I needed to go across the country. I needed to get whipped into shape. I needed to be brought to my knees. And even that wasn't enough. And then I needed to come back here. Mm-hmm. Like, everything, he allows things to happen. And it was like other people were vessels, and he allows things to happen, and he works it out for good in ways that you can't understand when you're going through it.
Yeah.
But there's this verse that I want to read, because I feel like it relates to my testimony so much. And what I'm trying to say is, like, throughout that whole time, God was like destroying the foundation that I built. Mm. And I thought that that was like such a strong foundation, but it wasn't. Mm-hmm. And now I'm rebuilding with his foundation. And it's Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded the house, yet it didn't collapse because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house in the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed. It collapsed with a great crash. And I feel like that's where I was at. Like, I was the foolish man in the sand. Mm. I built my house in the sand, and when tough times came, it collapsed.
Yeah.
But now I feel like I'm rebuilding with God, and like, man, like, those feelings of the isolation is so real. Mm-hmm. Like, when you're...
That's from the devil.
Yeah, I felt like I was being... And I was just praying, but I was praying my own selfish desires, not like, God, help me to do what's in your will. I was like, God, help me.
Giving the trust to him, like, no matter the outcome.
Yeah, I'm like, help me make this work. Help me. But it's not what he wanted. Like, he doesn't want us living in sin. Why was I asking him to bless that?
Yeah, I know.
You know?
But we didn't understand.
I didn't know. And now I know. Like, the problem was, when I really started to, like, find God in 2020, I didn't read the Bible. Like, I didn't know. I thought that watching things online, and I learned so much, and it is part of my journey. But what I was doing wrong was I wasn't reading the Bible. Mm. And, like, this is all truth. Like, this is, like, a guide to life.
Right.
Here you go.
Yep.
Here's how to live my children.
Why does nobody tell us?
No. And I mean, what is confusing, like, I didn't know where to start. I didn't know what to do.
Yeah, it's overwhelming.
And I think I had the veil over my eyes. Like, I couldn't.
Oh, yeah.
But now that I know, and I feel like I do love God and love Jesus for actually who he is, not the idea of it, but, like, I have that fear, and, like, mm-hmm. I understand so much more. I read this and I understand, and I'm like, and I take it seriously. That's the thing, is I take it seriously.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can't take it seriously until you collapse and crash and burn really bad. Sometimes he has to bring you to your knees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow.
Did that make any sense?
Yes.
I felt like I rambled on, and I think I missed a lot.
No, but we'll get into it in other episodes too. I feel like it was good.
Okay, your turn.
Oh, my turn. Okay. So, like Morgan, I also grew up with divorced parents. I also did not grow up in a Christian home. I have family members who were, like, Roman Catholic, like, traditional, like, religion. So like I had that in my head too. And when I would go to church on like, I'm talking like one Sunday every couple of months, it was because like I would want to go to make my grandparents happy, or like my Volvo, like I wanted to spend time with her and go with her, but it was like a chore. And it was like sitting through that service was the hardest thing to do. And I was constantly looking at the clock. So like that was the foundation. I don't know. Like, again, I knew of God. I didn't understand like God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, like no understanding of that. And I just knew that there was a God. I knew that I believed in God, and like the same kind of idea. Like I knew like you could pray and like, you know, people would say these things of like God is protecting you, or like, you know, but he wouldn't, like you said, like he wouldn't let us in if you don't, like, would you let a stranger into your house? No. So like we can ask for these things, and like I do believe he was working within me from the time that I was a child, and I'll get into that a little bit too. I thought it was like your intuition, but like I learned that that's like the Holy Spirit within you, and like you're good at like when you know like right from wrong. Like I always had like a guilty conscience. And that's what I thought. But like, really, I really feel like it was just like God working within me. But the whole point of that was he doesn't, like, he's not going to answer prayers if you're not like work, like seeking a relationship with him. So anywho, so I also felt all my life that I didn't have like, I was surrounded by a lot of things, I'd say, that showed me examples of like what I didn't want to be like, or like what I didn't want, for myself or my future family. And not a lot of like, I don't know, like role models of like, do as I do, a lot of like, do as I say, but it's hard when you're not like following an example. So that's where like coaches come in, or mentors come in, or whatever that may be. Okay, so fast forward to like high school, when I had my first like serious relationship. It started there of like trying to like earn love, and you know, like people pleasing and doing things to try to like earn love, earn that, like, I don't know, attention. I wouldn't ever really consider myself like attention seeking, but the ways that I did things to try to earn love, like I was seeking people's attention. Like I wanted to be seen, I wanted to be heard. I wanted to, like, you know, sports.
I agree.
Feeds into that.
It's hard when you are a kid and you grow up in like in that environment, and you don't,
yeah,
you're seeking it from the world rather than,
yeah,
inside.
Yeah. And like, you know, no better. Like, of course, like that's what, yeah, you do sports, you let it out on the field, and you like earn a name for yourself, or like you earn your like captain's position on a team. And then you want to be loved by like all of those people, and you want to be loved by all the groups, like the cliques in school. And then you have that one boyfriend in high school that you just want to be their everything and like act in a certain way. And like I, yeah, so anywho, that led into like sports and wanting to whatever, seeking that whatever I was missing at home and like inside in sports teams and my ability as an athlete, I guess. And then like when I was able to work, I worked all throughout high school at like a diner that I could work before I was like actually like of age. But that started, like, I've always had like this killer work ethic, which actually started because of my pop in the yard before I could even help at the diner. But yeah, I just would work my life away, because, and then I was praised for like my work ethic and like, you're such a hard worker. And then I had like 3 jobs at a time and I would babysit on top of doing like 2 other part-time jobs. So then I get to college and get out of that high school relationship and still working. Now I'm like isolated in my dorm, which was like a jail cell. And also didn't know, like, I knew I wanted to go for nursing, but I wasn't convinced. And like, there was just so many unknowns. I was just doing, okay. My entire life up until like, I would say probably January, like this year, my identity was in everything that I was told. It was in everything that I thought, like the examples that I saw around the world, and who I thought I should be, or like who people viewed me as, or what certain relationships made me out to be. And that's like, it was all like external environment and factors of what I thought my identity was. So when I fast forward to my last relationship, I became a mom. And truly, I say all the time, like, so many blessings came from that relationship. It would not, and I would have kept going from relationship to relationship, trying to fill the void of like wanting to find this love. I would have done that again if it didn't take having 3 children. And like, I also felt like I could have learned my lesson the first time with my daughter, but then like, I wanted her to have a sibling that was close in age. So then we had, one more, but then it was twins.
Like, he was like,
keep sinning, girl. Like,
how you doing?
Wake up. But yeah, so I would have just kept doing the same things. Like, I needed something as drastic as becoming a mom and having not one but 3 children to bring me to him. And like I said, like, I always knew of him, but like, I veered away way too often, way too easily, for the same reasons. Like, I was like, okay, well, you know, like, God says that we're sinners, and like, as humans, we're sinners, but we're also forgiven. So like, he knows that I'm gonna accidentally sin again, or like, it's in my nature.
You take advantage of it. Yeah. I was doing the same thing.
Yeah. And it's like, it doesn't, you don't understand. So you don't understand the price of sin.
Right.
Like, literally. And I didn't even up until recently, like, even when I started the walk of like joining, like finding our church home and seeking like a Bible study fellowship group, it still didn't hit me until recently. It's like, it gets pieced together piece by piece along the walk. And like, Jesus literally, like, his death was unfathomable, like, for us. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't hit you until, like, even I could have heard that 5 years ago and it wouldn't have hit me the way that it did like this year, you know? So anyway, becoming a mom also put me in such a, I was very isolated. Also, becoming a mom during COVID, not a great time. But once I found out that I was pregnant with my daughter, I was like, it's like, it snapped within me too, because I'm like, okay, I might have been living like this all these years and like not caring what it did to myself, but like, now I'm responsible for somebody else's life. I'm responsible for being her role model. And like, I have the opportunity to like change all that I've been feeling all my life. And I can take that step to like, I say like a lot, take that step to like stop living for just myself, because it affects so many other people, my daughter. But like, that was like, was getting me there to realizing, my relationship with Jesus. And then fast forward 9 months, I found out I was having twins. And then 18 months, when my daughter was 18 months old, I had the twins. And my partner wasn't, I don't know if I should say that, was in law enforcement, and that's why I was like alone a lot of the time. But do I not talk about that?
You can maybe just say a schedule, his work schedule.
I can talk about my partner, right?
Yeah. Okay. I did.
Okay. Yeah, true. Anyways, 18 months old, I had the twins, and I was already at the point where my partner had a really difficult schedule due to his career that I knew it was going to be hard, and family obviously helped as much as they could, but like our family is pretty young, so everybody has their own lives, and that's like, I had the help that I had. I was still alone a lot, like for the majority of the day, and the majority of, like, I don't know, all of that added up, it was like a lot of days out of the week. But not even like, I could even have people, but because I was so in my own head and like in survival mode, I felt alone. And like, even if there was people there, I still felt alone. And I still felt like not really, like, I don't know, seen, heard, or comforted, even if people were like in the room. So yeah, fast forward to what's next. I found, when the boys turned like one, I feel, no, I think I found BSF when the boys turned two. So I involved myself in a Bible study fellowship. That's what started the understanding piece, because I was like, I had friends too. Like my friend in Ohio is the one that was like, told me to go to BSF and like seek help there, because I would go to her for all my spiritual questions, and like I had questions, and like I knew these things, and this was really just him calling me, and like the seed was planted long ago, but it's like he kept calling me throughout all of these times in my life. And just so happened to be, once the twins were like a little bit older, I just kept seeking, I was seeking help in like also like therapy. I would seek help in spiritual guidance, because they would, you hear like they will tell you,
Reiki,
like align, to help you align with what you need to be aligned with, and tell you the answers you thought you needed to hear. And I'm like, of course, like I need the answers and I need it now. Like I'm losing myself. Like I don't know what to do. Like I thought I was at rock bottom just in motherhood and just what that all brings you, like having no energy and the mental like side of that. And yeah, so I kept seeking it in other things or other people's, or like hiring coaches. That's another thing that I tried, like, okay, hire therapists, hire coaches, hire mentors, like literally trying to find the answer in everything else that the world was like offering, except for Jesus. But then I would like look to him like, why is this happening to me?
And you're not like pursuing that relationship with him.
Yeah, just like looking to him but not doing anything about, like I wouldn't have even thought to like go buy a Bible and read it. Mm-hmm. And it sounds so silly, like maybe some people do have that realization, but like that was not my first thought. So anywho, talking to friends, and like also God placed them so perfectly in my life too, even us, but we talk about that in a little bit. But so I had this friend that urged me to join BSF, and that started because then I had a mentor along with older women. My group was several older women. There was a couple, like younger women too. I was the youngest one in my group. Mm-hmm. And then I started the understanding, and then I started getting in the routine of, okay, you're doing a Bible study. Like you read every morning and like you answer these questions and reflect and learn. And then you come home, and then we meet when you came back home. We like meet for, or maybe Barnes and Noble's was when you were already living here.
Yeah, I was already living here.
So we had just gotten, we met at the park just to like catch up, and that just started our, we did not know we were going to be bonded like blood.
No, but like I remember even at the park, we were like two corpses.
Yeah.
Like, I was dead in my eyes, and I felt dead inside. I was so isolated, and I know that you felt the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, you're just so we were standing there like, how are you? But like, we were like,
good, how are you? The biggest robot. Lie. Yeah. Good. Goodwill. Not good. But yeah, so then, and then I also too had a little bit, I don't think I ever said this, but I did have a little bit of like, when I saw you at the park, it was just like the normal, like, oh, like, I don't know if we'll like she might move back, and but I don't know if she's actually gonna like reach out to hang out again, or if it's, if we're ever gonna, you know, hold that. But now we literally cannot be separated. Like, it's just crazy. But so where was I going with that? You came back. Oh, and then you came to BSS. And then, yeah, when you finally moved back home, we were sitting in Barnes & Noble's, absolutely dead souls. That was, we were both.
It's like Barnes & Noble closes at 9. And we're there. It's like 8:50. We're like, are you okay? Yeah, you okay? Yeah. But like, neither of us are okay.
No, but we were just surviving like together.
Nothing even like happened that day. That's just such a core memory of like us sitting there with our Bibles, the lighting, it's dark outside, it's middle of winter.
Mm-hmm. That was just like where we were at.
And then we're standing in church the day that we're going to get baptized, and we're like, can you even remember?
Barnes and Noble's.
That day at Barnes and Noble's.
No, it's insane. And this is what we mean. Like,
he really works miracles.
Yeah. So, to finish off, you came to BSF with me. Oh, yeah. And I was so excited because I also was praying that I would, like, meet my best friend, that I, like, that I could, like, my Christian best friend that had the same values as me, that our lives would align. I thought that was going to be, like, a brand new person from BSF. And you came, like, it was, like, a few weeks had gone by before the first time that you came to BSF with me. Mm-hmm. And then that kind of, like, I don't know, after that, I was just like.
I remember you were telling me that you were doing that, and I, like, had just moved back. I was like, please take me.
Yeah.
Like, I was, like, begging. I'm like, Jess, like, I need help. You don't understand. Yeah. I need Jesus so badly.
Yeah. And I also didn't understand the level that you were. Like, I didn't know your whole backstory either, and like that you had Jesus in Verde Way, or that we were even going through similar things, mm-hmm. like in 2020, and we would have never even, and we went 3 years not being friends and going through that, but
imagine if we had each other though, that would have been so helpful. But we
wouldn't have needed been, yeah, we wouldn't have been,
he was fine-tuning.
Yeah, it was all so necessary. And then after we go to BSF for a little bit together, we find our church home. Mm-hmm. And even still, that can be some, we'll definitely maybe talk about that in another episode, but like being in a relationship while also trying to, like, it's not possible. I don't think unless both partners are on the same page, but trying to lay down the life that you lived before, but being in the same relationship that like the world brought you to.
Yeah,
like you can't pursue,
well, because you're still 1 foot in the world, 1 foot trying to walk with God.
Yeah,
and it, like,
and that's what I couldn't get a grasp on. So like we found our church home, and then still we didn't get baptized until June, so that's 6 months go by of going to church, but still, like, I don't know, I feel like I made excuses for things that I would like sin. And I actually did a year sober, no alcohol, in May. So that's like, that's crazy to think about when you really think of it all. Like, and he made me, God made me, like, had me live sober for a year. That was like the hardest year of my life.
Mm-hmm.
This goes back to, like, if I hadn't been doing, and I made that commitment also off a whim, I made it from my grandmother who passed, and she suffered with alcoholism, and I did it like in honor of her, but also like for myself too, because I often said things and like wouldn't follow through or would come up with an excuse. And I don't know what it was that day, but there was nothing different about the day. It was literally like, God, I made a commitment. I was like, okay, this day I'm not drinking for a year. I'm going to complete an entire year of not one sip of alcohol, like for my gram. Like she couldn't do it. I'm going to do it because the strength that I have from God, like the saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I used to live, that was like the one scripture that I would say, and I didn't even understand the meaning behind it. But so, but imagine if I had gone through that year and I was drinking, like I could have ended up like, so, wow. Like I have addiction in my family. I could have, like, you know, the road just could have gone so south. And the times where I did feel the darkest that I ever had, that could have led me into like permanent decisions that I wouldn't have been in my right mind. And I didn't have my the relationship that I do now with Jesus. So that could have been taken from me. My life literally could have been taken from me like in a split second if I had made other decisions.
Well, he won't give you or put you through what you can't handle. Like he'll allow, you said that to me earlier.
Yeah. So
he's working it out for good, I think, is just what to remember and what to realize about it is like everything that's happening, like
he sustains. Yeah. And that won't go away ever again. Obviously, like sin happens and like, you know.
Yeah.
But
when you're like repeatedly, the thing about sin though is like it's painful, right? Like when you're not living in the way that God intended and in his will, it is so painful, the way of the world. And like we paint it to look normal.
Yeah.
Like people paint it to look normal. That's what it should be like. That's what's fun. That's a little high, but it's so painful. It's temporary, it hurts so bad
too.
It's all temporary highs.
Yeah.
And then when you come down from it, it hurts so bad. Like the relationships, the drinking, like it's just all like buying things, right?
Yeah.
Shopping.
Yeah. And the other realization too that I had through like the beginning of the year to when we did get baptized, because that's also when it changed for me. I have something to say about that because it kind of, I had a very big like conviction, I feel like a couple months ago, and that was after I got baptized. But anyway, it, you choosing to like allow the sin to happen or allow yourself to veer off from your path with God delays the blessings and the fruits of the spirits. Like it's all delaying what you could have had if you would have just obeyed what you know is right. But you come up with these, and I'm saying me, like I would come up with these excuses or something, like because it's not easy to live by the Bible and the word. Like it's not, it's hard and it's not common. So people will, I can't even tell you how many times I got asked why I wasn't drinking during that year. And like people have their opinions and they have questions, or they want you to have fun with them, or they think that you're not having fun because of how you're living, how you're choosing to live. And when you veer off and you like make an excuse like, oh, it's okay this time, and like I am forgiven, and like I'll, you know, you're delaying what he, the big grand plan that he has for you.
I always wonder, well, I don't always wonder and I don't regret, because I really, really think that like this was God's walk that he wanted me to go on and like he needed me to go through to understand. But like had I taken him seriously in 2020, like where would I be?
Oh my gosh, I know.
I wouldn't have experienced so much hurt. But I am so, so, so thankful for everything. Like I can't even explain to you, like,
yeah, it was all necessary. No matter how bad it hurt, like,
and it was, I really think it was his plan and his walk, the way, the timing of everything. Like I moved away and coming back and like my dog passing away and like what brought me back, and then us being friends, like his timing is so,
yeah,
he had it all planned out, and he knew I was gonna walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Like he knows he just had a plan, yeah. And I didn't know.
Yeah. And like, that's also too what happens when you just place your trust in him. Also another hard thing to do, because we all want to take things into our own hands and, mm-hmm. you know, we're capable, we're able to figure it out. Like, I got it. But truly, like, and that's another thing too. Like, people have asked, like, how I've walked through, like, the last year or, like, different parts of my journey. They're like, make comments. And truly, my answer every single time has been the unexplainable peace of Jesus. Because, like, once you have that realization and you have that firm foundation in your relationship with him, it truly doesn't matter. You know you're going to face challenges. You know your world's going to get rocked by things that come up, by people getting hurt, or like situations that happen to you that you have no control over. You know those things are still going to happen, even because you're a Christian and you're walking with him. But it's him that's different. You're walking with him.
You're walking with the Spirit. You have the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah. And you know, no matter what the outcome is, it's his outcome. Like, if it's not good, he's not done yet. And like, mm-hmm. even through it, like, I wish that I knew that I could rely on him during those times when I was sitting. And like, even when I, like, the times at the beginning of separating with my children's father, if I had the relationship with Jesus that I have now, and I could have had him in those times when I would go and drop them off, instead I still was distracting myself, or I was falling into sin again. Like, it was such a dark place, and still I feel like the enemy could have ripped me right.
Yeah, but that's where the enemy wants you, is he wants you to be isolated. But like,
right.
And I've said this to you before, but the enemy thinks he's doing something, but really I think that God is working it out for good.
Yeah.
Like, for me, right, all of that isolation and the way that the enemy was working in my life, I think God had a different plan and was like, you're isolated because you need to, like, I'm going to use this for good.
Yeah.
You're going to be isolated so that you can get to know me and fall to your knees and, like, really know me and have fear of the Lord.
Yeah. And that's what it is. We both had to literally fall to our knees and surrender. Yeah.
Break the foundation that we had built.
Yeah. Just acknowledge that you cannot continue living life how you've been living it, in your own hands, on your own terms, like, just surrendering it all to him. And that's literally what I did when I was at my low. I thought I was at my lowest, and then I went even lower after separating and being a single mom and, like, having to figure that out. And I was just like, that went even lower, and I had to again give it up and be like, okay, God, mm-hmm. like, I can't do this my way anymore. I need you. I don't care what I have to do. Like, I promise, like, I will do as you say. And then I have the Bible verse that I picked to go with my little testimony, and about when we got baptized in June 9th, I still, like, I had that realization, but I was still going through, because that was, like, in the peak of, like, amidst, like, separating, and, like, it's, like, it's a big deal because there's kids involved, right? So, like, I had so much, I don't know, there was a lot going on mentally, because I was taking my kids into consideration. However, that let, like, I would give myself way too much grace, I think, as far as, like, obeying him in certain things. And when I say that, I mean, like, I should have been more strict with, like, the budget and my finances and getting on track, because I'm a single mom to three babies. But I would make these little excuses of, like, oh, treat yourself, like, go do this, or, like, whatever the case may be. But it was all my thoughts. I never actually did anything, like, action-wise that I would consider, like, sinning, or maybe so, because, like we said, we're going to talk about so many that you don't even realize are sins. But even when we got baptized, I feel like I still had thoughts that I would go back, and I felt like I was sinning just because of my thoughts. And then, like, a couple months ago, I was reading the Bible, and I had this conviction, And it's re-sparked the literal fear of God in me because it says, oh, wait. One moment. It's in Revelation 2:21. It says, well, 2021. But I have this against you. You tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and teaches and deceives my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat meat sacrificed to idols. This is the part. 21. I gave her time to repent, but she does not want to repent of her sexual immorality. That piece of I gave her time to repent, but she does not want to repent. Brother. Called me out because of that, like, when you walk with the Lord, it calls you to do things that are seen as not fun. It's not common things, and things that you might not want to give up or, like, not want to, you know, lay down. And but that, when I read that, I literally, like, jumped and gasped. And I was like, okay, this is, like, I say I'm going to stop living life on my terms and give it up to God. And yeah, I feel like that is, I don't know.
Walking with him's not an easy walk.
No, you have a target on your back. Mm-hmm. But all right, let's wrap up. I feel like we talked
about our friendship.
Yeah. Maybe we'll just close up, like, wrap up saying that, like, our friendship too started in middle school.
Yeah.
On the cheerleading team. So we've been, and that's, like, sick to think about, over 10 years.
I know.
But we cheered together in middle school, and then we cheered together in high school. Mm-hmm. And then even you went to a different college at first. You're also a year ahead of me, but you went to a different college, and then we what do you call that?
Rekindled.
Yeah. Rekindled in college at Rick. Mm-hmm. We were in the same. Oh my gosh.
I was thinking about this last night. Remember when you came over?
Yep.
And we were supposed to study.
Uh-huh.
But instead we were like, want to just watch a bunch of movies and sit on the couch.
Yeah. And we were delusional because then we tried to study afterwards.
Yeah, we were like, we need a break.
1 a.m. Wow. Yeah. Anywho, that's crazy too. He brought us back together then, and then we went back away, and then you moved away, and then I had babies.
His hands were in it all, though. Like, I really, really believe that. I really think that he took us on our own journeys that we needed to find him.
Yeah. And, yeah, because it's like, we were going through the same things, but we weren't friends, so it's not even like we could have altered each other's, like...
But what? How good of a friend would I have been if I was so worldly?
Oh my gosh!
Like, what good advice would I be giving you? How would I be leading you to him?
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't have been what you needed.
That's and so true.
I think that he did that on purpose.
Yeah. Wow. Crazy.
I don't think that I started walking with him like how I'm supposed to until baptism.
Yeah. You were really serious, like, from the start of baptism. And that's what I mean. Like, and I felt like I was, but I just had that feeling of like, oh, this is going to be really hard to not do the things that I may want to do. And not even right then, but like down the line.
Well, and there's so many easy things that are meant to take you off your track.
Yeah.
Like, our phones are in our hands 24/7. That's such an easy thing. And it's just like, okay, distraction. Like, if I can be on my phone for 20 minutes when really it's like, come to me, like, pray, let's talk about it, have a relationship, so that way when you do face the hard times, open the Bible app on your phone instead of Instagram, like, open the Bible, sit and hear from me. And instead we're just, there's such accessible things in our day-to-day life that's meant to derail you. I think
okay, well, episode one.
Episode one. Thank you so much for listening.
Yeah. If you guys heard anything that you related to or that you thought of somebody, share it with them.
Mm-hmm. Share with a friend.
Yeah. And also to always, always, always feel free to DM us with prayer requests.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have like a more specific spot for you guys to put those requests. But for now, we'll always ask on our stories too for you to leave prayer requests, but our DMs are always welcome.
Helped somebody and connected with anybody listening. Yes,
the prayer is that it just impacts one person to not feel so lonely. Mm-hmm. And see you on the next one.
Bye.